Today's daf is Yumad Daf Ayin Gimel. We left off on the bottom of Daf Ayin Beis. I'm in Beis. We're at the two dots, four lines from the bottom of the page. Today's shir is sponsored anonymously in the Zchus of Rufu Shlema of Morenu Harav Aaron Ben Bluma, Rav Lichtenstein Shlita, the Mechaber of the Kuntres Yom HaKippurim of the Rav. We certainly join all of Klal Yisrael in davening for Rufu Shlema for Rav Lichtenstein. And thank the sponsor, the anonymous sponsor, very much for his sponsorship. We are we're holding four lines from the bottom of the page, and Daf Ayin Beis Amud Beis. So Be'elim Shalom Be'urim V'Tum. So first, we're going to discuss which Big Day Kahuna the Meshuach Melchama wore. Did he wear the Shmona Begadim of the Kohen Gadol? Did he wear just the four Begadim? Meshuach Melchama was a special Kohen whose job it was to rally up the troops and to get it to give the big speech before going out to Melchama. But in a certain way, he had a status of a Kohen Gadol, so how much was his status like that of a Kohen Gadol? And that's going to lead us into a whole discussion of the various halachas that are special for a Kohen Gadol. Different ways that we treat a Kohen Gadol differently than we treat other Kohanim, and which of those halachas apply to a Kohen that's Merubah Begadim, that only achieved his Kuna Gadola, not from the Shemna Mishcha, but by wearing the Shemona Begadim, and which of those halachas apply to a Meshuach She'avar, to someone who had to take over his Kohen Gadol, but now had to step aside and go back to not being a Kohen Gadol, and which of those halachos apply to a Meshuach Melchama. So we're going to discuss all the different halachos that apply to a Kohen Gadol, and who else some of those halachos might apply to. Then at the end of the parak, which hopefully we'll be finishing today, at the end of the parak, we're going to discuss how the Urim V'Tumim worked, meaning what the procedure was to ask of the Urim V'Tumim, what the rules and regulations were in terms of how one approaches the Urim V'Tumim, who was qualified to operate the Urim V'Tumim. And then Bez Hashem will start the last parak of the Masechta, the eighth parak, which begins with a Mishnah that enumerates the Chamesh Inuyim, the five things that we're not allowed to do on Yom Kippur, and the Shir Achila, the Shir of the Yisra Achila on Yom HaKippurim. So that will take us through the end of today's Shir. So let us begin now. Daf Ayin Beis Amud Beis, three lines from the bottom of the page, says the Gemara. Be'elu nishalim v'urim v'tum. Ki yasra avdimi amar, begadim shkohen gadol mishamish ben, kohen mishamish ben, meshuach melchama mishamish ben. The same begadim that the kohen gadol would wear, the meshuach melchama would also wear the shmona begadim. Shene amar, as the pasuk says, u'bigdei ha-kodesh shesher la'aron yu levanav achrav. What does that mean? Lemisha ba bigdula achrav. Obviously it's banav achrav. Why, what's it adding with the word achrav? Children are always achrav. So now it means to say, lemisha ba bigdula achrav. Whoever takes over a position of authority after him, and that would include the Meshuach Melchama. Masav Ravad Barava Varmi Lakadi. So Ravad Barava, or some say an anonymous Amora, asks on this, Yachli Yehebenoshel Meshuach Melchama Meshamish Tachtav, Kiderk Shabenoshel Kohen Gadol Meshamish Tachtav. One might think that the son of the Meshuach Melchama takes over his father's position, just like the son of a regular Kohen Gadol should take over his father's position. Tamalomar Shivas Yom L'Shem HaKoyin Tachtav Mibanav Asher Yavo Elo El Moed, and we darshan from there Misha Ro'i Lavo Elo El Moed, only someone who's Ro'i Lavo Elo El Moed, because the pasuk refers to Dafka being Ba'al El Moed, only such a person has Banav Tachtav, has his son take over his position. But someone who's not Ro'i Lavo Elo El Moed does not have his son take over his position, and therefore the Meshulch Melchama who does not go into the Oel Moed does not have his son take over the position. But Vimisa Mikhsachazi. But if you're gonna hold that the Meshuach Melchama wears Shmona Begadim, well then he is Ra'ui Lava Alal Moed. If he wears Shmona Begadim all the time, so he should be able to go into the Ol Moed, and therefore this whole drasha to tell me that his children don't take over his position is not a valid drasha. The whole drasha is only about someone who doesn't go into the Ol Moed. So Amar Rav Nachman Ritzcha Kachi Kamar. Now what the drasha means to say as follows: not anyone who's able to go to Ol Moed, but rather Kol she'ikur mishichaso la'ohel moed, yatzozeh she'ikur mishichaso la'melchama. Who has the right to have their son take over their position once they are gone? That's someone whose primary function and the primary purpose of being of anointing him as a Kohen was so that as a Kohen Gadol was so that he can go La'ol Moed. It may happen to be true that a Meshuach Melchama is able to be Yavo La'ol Moed, but that's certainly not Ikur Mishichaso. Ikur Mishichaso is to get people prepared for milchama, and that's why he's excluded from the pasuk of yavo asher yavo lo al moed. So that's the drasha. But ask the gemara further. Meisve mashuach milchama enu mishamish lo ba arba kikoin hadyot velo b'shmona kikoin gadol. We see that mashuach milchama cannot be mishamish with the dalad begadim like a regular kohen hadyot, nor with the shmona begadim like a kohen gadol. Samalei Abayi elazar mashvesleis. Abayi says, wait a second, that wasn't one of the options. Now you made him like a zar. You made him that he's not a kohen at all. Meaning our whole question was, does the mashuach milchama wear four begadim like kohen hadyot, or eight begadim like kohen gadol? Can't say neither, because then he's nobody. Then he's just a zar. Ella, rather, what it means to say is ke kohen gadol mishum eva. He doesn't wear the shmona begadim like a kohen gadol because out of a concern of eva that it's going to cause some animosity with the kohen gadol. But on a daraisa level, he should have been able to wear the shmona begadim technically, and ke kohen hadyot mishum malam bekadosh v'lo maridin. And he can't wear the begadim of a kohen hadyot because of malam bekadosh v'lo maridin. We want him to go up in kedusha, not down in kedusha. So, but the bottom line is that you see on a daraisa level, he does wear the shmona begadim. So again, so the point is that we had originally said that the mashuach milchama, we started out by saying the same begadim that a kohen gadol's mishamish ben, the mashuach milchama is mishamish behen. So at first we had questioned that from a drasha about whose son takes over for him, and we had answered that drasha. So now we're trying to bring a further raya from the fact that it says the only reason he doesn't wear the shmona begadim is mishum eva. So that seems to tell you that otherwise he would wear the shmona begadim, which is like we said that he on a darais level he should be able to wear the shmona begadim, but mishum eva practically he doesn't. So amalei ravada barava larava v'haytan delasle eva v'loka mishamish. Now I'll prove to you that you, even if someone does not hold of the concept of Eva, still the Mashuach Milchama doesn't wear Shmona Begadim. We're going to find a Tana that had every reason to be concerned for Eva in a certain context, and even so is not going to allow the Mashuach Milchama to is not worried for Eva, ignores the concern of Eva, and still won't allow the Mashuach Milchama to wear the Shmona Begadim. So don't tell me the only reason the Mashuach Milchama doesn't wear the Shmona Begadim is because of Eva. We're going to see a Tana that ignores Eva and still thinks the Mashuach Milchama doesn't wear Shmona Begadim. Where do we see that, Titania? We have a Braisa that goes through all of the special dinim of a Kohen Gadol. Dvarim Shebein Kohen Gadol a Kohen Hadyot. The difference between a Kohen Gadol and a Kohen Hadyot is as follows. It's a long Braisa, and toward the end of the Braisa is where we finally get to the Mashuach Milchama. But the Braisa says as follows. The differences between Kohen Gadol and Kohen Hadyot are as follows. Par, the grud takes out on the side, he takes out the next phrase, and he says the way it should read is par haba al kala mitzvos. Number one, the special par that the Kohen Gadol brings when he paskins incorrectly on an Isser Kares. Upar Yom HaKippurim, the special par of the Kohen Gadol in Yom Kippur, it's also only for a Kohen Gadol. Vasirus Ha'efa, the Asirus Ha'efa that the Kohen Gadol brings every single day in the Beis HaMikdash, that's part of his avodah, but no one else. Velo Pareya, Velo Parem, he's not Pareya Rosho to grow his hair because of Avelus, nor does he tear his clothing out of Avelus. But he does tear at the bottom and the hem of his garment, whereas a regular person would tear on the top of his garment. The word hedyot means just a plain person, means simple person. Rav Shachlovich translates the word hedyot as idiot. His point is not that a hedyot is an idiot, it's that the word idiot comes from hedyot. That idiot just means a plain person. So any hedyot, just a plain one, I mean a plain kohen. So as opposed to a special kohen like Kohen Gadol. Ve'in mitame lekrovav, and he also cannot become tame to his relatives if his relatives die. Umetzuva la besula, he's mechuyev to only marry a besula. Umuzra la almana, he's not allowed to marry an almana, as opposed to a kohen hadyot is not allowed to marry a grusha, but a kohen hadyot is allowed to marry an almana. Umachzer esorotzech, when the kohen gadol dies, someone who's stuck in a near miklat gets to go free. Umakriv onein ve'ino ochel ve'ino cholek, he gets to do avoda while while he's in Onain, he just still can't eat the kachim while he's in Onain, but he does get to do the avoda. V'notel chelik barosh u'makrav chelik barosh. Kohen Gadol always gets first dibs on everything. If he wants to take something, take a chelik of the karbanos. U'mishamish b'shmona kelim, and he wears eight begadim. U'patr al tumas mikdash u'kdashav, and he's patr for any din of tumas mikdash u'kdashav, for any violation of tuma in the Beis HaMikdash. The Gemara in Hori learns that out from a pasuk, and this whole every detail of this Rashi points out is elaborated on in Maseches Harios. V'kol avodas Yom HaKippurim ein ksheiros ela bo, and all the avodas Yom HaKippurim are only kosher, but when done by the Kohen Gadol. V'kula noagos b'meruba begadim, all of these halachos apply to a meruba begadim, meaning even if a Kohen Gadol got his position by wearing the shemana begadim rather than by being mashuach with the shemana mishcha, all of these halachos still apply. Chutz miparabal kol mitzvos, except for that special carbon that's brought when he paskins incorrectly about chiv kares. V'kula noagos b'mashuach sha'avar, and all of these things also apply to mashuach sha'avar, meaning to someone who had taken over the kuna gedola for a short while. Chutz mipar yom hakipurim v'asiris eifa, except for the par yom hakipurim and asiris eifa, special carbonos of a kohen gadol, he doesn't do. The mashuach sha'avar does not do, but you do see that he still wears the shmona begadim, the mashuach sha'avar. Now, probably that causes a great deal of eiva. The current Kohen Gadol is probably not so happy to see someone who used to be in this position wearing the Shmona Begadim and acting pretty much in all ways like a Kohen Gadol, except for these couple of karbanos, and yet this Tana is not worried about that. It doesn't matter. Let him wear the Shmona Begadim. We don't care about eiva. And yet, even though we don't care about eiva, this Tana is not concerned about eiva. He's not worried about the animosity that's going to be felt between the current Kohen Gadol and some past and a Kohen Gadol that had taken over at some point. Still, the Tana goes on to say, "V'kulan eino agos b'mashuach milchama chutz michmisha dvar ma'amur b'parsha." And all of these things do not apply to the mashuach milchama, meaning the mashuach milchama does not wear the shemana begadim. The only halachas of Kohen Gadol that apply to the mashuach milchama are the five things that we are about to say: lo pareyav, lo parim, lo matamil krovav, umetzuva al besulam musar al almana. Those five parts apply to mashuach milchama, but not the shemana begadim. And then there's a sixth thing that it's a machlokas. A machzer serusech. The Rabbi Yehuda v'chamar meinu machzer. A machlokas whether the death of the mashuach milchama is machzer or rotzeach, gets a rotzeach out of near miklat. Fine, but you see that the Shemona Begadim is not something that the Mashiach Muhammad does. Aye, so you'll say, oh, it's because of Eva. Really, on a Darais level, Mashiach Muhammad. No, this Tana is not worried about Eva. If this Tana was worried about Eva, he wouldn't allow the Mashiach Sha'avar to wear the Shemona Begadim. So this Tana, who's not worried about Eva, still thinks that the Mashiach Muhammad does not wear the Shemona Begadim. So you see that it's a Din Daraisa that he doesn't wear the Shemona Begadim. So that's one very long question, meaning we started off by saying that the Mashiach Milchama does wear the Shemona Begadim. So this is a challenge to that. You can't tell me that it's only Eva that causes him not to. You see on a Daraisa level he doesn't. So answers the Gemara, no, this Tana does hold of Eva. Kilas le Eva b'tkavasei. He just thinks that there's no Eva on someone with there's no concern for Eva with someone who's on the same level as the current Kohen Gadol. The Mashuach Sha'avar is on the same level, so you don't have to worry so much about Eva. But it's insulting to him to have someone who's on a lower level than him, the Mashuach Muhammad, wear the Shemona Begadim. That will create a sense of Eva, that every Shmo is able to wear the Shemona Begadim. It's one thing if someone on my Madrega, but someone who's lower than me should be able to wear the Shemona Begadim. That's going to cause a sense of Eva. Yosef Rabbi Yavav, Kamala Hashmaita, Mishmed Rabbi Yochanan. So Rabbi Yavav was saying over this teaching that we just said in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, Adrin Rabbi Ami Rabbi Asi Lapayu. And Rabbi Ami and Rabbi Asi turned their faces away because they did not think that Rabbi Yochanan had said this. So that's why they turned away. Meaning the whole Ki Asa Ravdimi, our whole original statement that the Mashuach Milchama wears the Big Day Kuna Gedola, could not have been said by Rabbi Yochanan, but they didn't want to say explicitly that it wasn't said by Rabbi Yochanan, so they just sort of turned away. Ikeda Amri, others say that the people who were involved in the conversation was that Rabbi Chiya bar Abba Amra. Rabbi Chiya bar Abba is the one that said in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, Va'adrinu Rabbi Yami, Rabbi Asi La'apayu. And Rabbi Yami and Rabbi Asi are the ones that are still the ones that turned away. So either it was Rabbi Avahu or Rabbi Chiya bar Abba that reported this in the name of Rabbi Yochanan. In either case, Rabbi Yami and Rabbi Asi were not happy because they do not believe Rabbi Yochanan held this way. So Maskev Rav Papa, Bishlam Rabbi Avahu, Mishum Yakar de Bekesar. I understand why they didn't want to just tell Rabbi Avahu, you're wrong, because Rabbi Avahu was very beloved to the Malchus. He was very close to the Bekesar. So out of respect for the Bekesar, they didn't want to say anything directly to him. But if it was Rabbi Chiya bar Abba who had quoted this from Rabbi Yochanan and was wrong, Rabbi Ami and Rabbi Asi should have just told him, no, Rabbi Yochanan never said that. Why do they have to do it in such a respectful way? By turning their face around. That only makes sense if you're trying to show kavod to the Malchus, but there's no kavod to the Malchus issue over here, so it must be that the story is not with Rabbi Chiya bar Abba. It must have been that the story was really with Rabbi Avahu. A couple of points over here. First of all, we said the Kohen Gadol, the concern of Eva is something that we raised, and Rashi explains that Rav Dimi held that on Daraisa, the Meshuach Melchama should really, on a Daraisa level, he should really wear the Shemona Begadim. It's just Midrabanu Mishum Eva, right? When we said that it's Mishum Eva that he doesn't wear the Shemona Begadim, it really means Midaraisa he should wear it. It's only out of a sense of Eva. So the difficulty the Achronim raise is, so when we say Meshuach Melchama wears Shemona Begadim, what are we mean? Meaning we were trying to say, oh yeah, it's a raya to Kiyas Rav Dimi who said that the Meshuach Melchama wears Shemona Begadim, because you see on a Daraisa level he wears Shemona Begadim. Yeah, but practically he doesn't. So Rav Dimi said that he wears Shemona Begadim. He doesn't say that theoretically he should be able to wear Shemona Begadim. He says that he does wear Shemona Begadim. So when is he ever going to actually wear Shemona Begadim if you're always concerned for Eva? So in the Sefer Siach Yitzchak he says, Nafkamina might be if the Kohen Gadol dies and they still haven't appointed a new one. So then the Meshuach Melchama could wear the Shemona Begadim. You don't have to worry about Eva because there's no sitting Kohen Gadol. There's no Kohen Gadol who's actually in place. So then if it's only concerned with Rabban Mishem Eva, but Midaraisa, he's allowed to wear the Shemona Begadim, so then he'd be wearing the Shemona Begadim. Another important point over here, the Tosus points out, the Kula Nogos B'Meshuach Shavar, we said all of these halachas that apply to a Kohen Gadol apply also to a Meshuach Shavar, and some of them apply even to a Meshuach Melchama. Now, there was even a Machlokas Tanayim, whether when a Meshuach Melchama dies, do people get out of the Ir Miklat? So Frek Tosus is a very Pashut Akasha. The Gemara Masechus Makos tells us, and Masechus Sanhedrin, that if someone kills a Kohen Gadol B'Shogeg, or a Kohen Gadol kills somebody B'Shogeg, Eino Yotzi Misham Li'olam, they never get out of the Ir Miklat. Why don't they ever get out of the Ir Miklat? Because the only way to get out of the Ir Miklat is by Misas Kohen Gadol. Well, if you just killed the Kohen Gadol, that's what got you into the Ir Miklat. So you have no way out, even though they're going to appoint a new Kohen Gadol, but that's not the sitting Kohen Gadol at the time of the murder that you committed. Or if you are the Kohen Gadol, the Kohen Gadol himself killed somebody, so he's never going to get out, because the only way he gets out is if the Kohen Gadol dies. So he would have to die in order to get out, so he's never going to get out of the Ir Miklat. That's what the Gemara says over there. Frek tells us, but wait a second, if all of these dinim, including being Machzir Sarotzech, apply to a Meshuach Sha'avar, and perhaps even to a Meshuach Melchama, so sure he has a way out of the Ir Miklat. If the Meshuach Melchama dies, if the Meshuach Sha'avar dies, there's more than one Kohen Gadol that can die that will get somebody out of an Ir Miklat. So it says, tells us, V'shema yesh lomar, the Kohen Gadol Iker, V'kimadav a Kohen Gadol B'sha Shaharag, lo hadar b'misas hani, o b'misas Kohen Gadol Acher, she'amidu tachtav. He says, maybe when you're the Kohen Gadol, then you don't get out with the Misa of some other Kohen Gadol. But if it were someone else, then they would get out with the Misa of another Kohen Gadol. Inami says, Hadliktani eni yotzi misham liyolam, kigon de lo hava Meshuach Shavar Meshuach Melchama. Or maybe it's just talking about where there was no Meshuach Sha'avar or Meshuach Melchama. Maybe that's when we say that he'll never get out of it, when there was no one else who could have been whose death would have meant a release from the Ir Miklat. One more point before we go on, and that is that we had mentioned that kol avodas yom kippur meinik sheres elabo. One of the unique elements of being a Kohen Gadol is that all of the Avodas Yom HaKippurim can only be done by him. So the implication is that all of the Avodas Hayom, whether they are Yom Kippur related Avodas or any other Avodas, Avodas that we do every day, can only be done by the Kohen Gadol. This happens to be, and therefore, we would never need to do any payasos on Yom HaKippurim. Any of the normal lots that we draw to determine who does certain Avodas in the Beis HaMikdash would be totally unnecessary on Yom Kippur, because we know who does it. The Kohen Gadol does everything. So that is a Machlokes Rishonim. I believe we've spoken about it before, but just to remind ourselves, based on, because we mentioned it again here, the Bala Ma'or and many other Rishonim as well, but the Bala Ma'or at the very beginning of the Masechta, we're connecting the end to the beginning. The Bala Ma'or says that all the payasos ceased on Yom Kippur. There was no payas in Yom Kippur because of our Gemara, because all the Avodos are only done by the Kohen Gadol. And he says, you should know that when you read the Piyutim in the Seder Avoda on Yom HaKippurim, and it talks about the payasos, they all made a big mistake. It's an error, because there happened to be Mishnayos and Yuma. They talk about payasos, and the Balei HaPiyutim, the Balei HaKrovos, didn't realize that that those Mishnayos were about the Avodas throughout the rest of the year. Those Mishnayos weren't about Yom HaKippurim, so they accidentally stuck it into the Avodas Yom HaKippurim, but it's all wrong, says the Balei Ma'or. The Ramban disagrees. The Ramban says, no, there were payasos in Yom HaKippurim, because it's easy to say, yeah, the Paitanim made a mistake, but look who the Paitanim were. Reb Lazar HaKalir, come on, he couldn't read a Mishnah? There's no way. These were Gedolei Olam. How can you just say they made a mistake and stuck into Avodas Yom HaKippurim payasos that didn't exist? Now, there's no way that these Gaonim made such a mistake in the Avoda, in how the Avoda went. The Avodas HaPayasos are kosher, even Lo Al Yidei HaKohen Gadol, says the Ramban, that the Kohen Gadol, when we say that all the Avodas Yom are only done by the Kohen Gadol, we mean those Avodos that normally don't require a pious, but everyday Avodos that happen to be done on Yom Kippur also, that require a pious, so that's not done by the Kohen Gadol. That could be done by anybody. The Shitas HaRambam in the fourth paragraph of Hilchos Tmidin is that Trumas Hadashin was done with a pious even on Yom Kippur. So as Yantav explains, that the pious Aravi'i was for which ones will bring the Evarim to the Kohen Gadol, and he's the one that actually throws it on the fire in the Maracha on the Mizbeach. That there was the Kach Darko Shel Kohen Gadol, that any day that he wanted to take the Evarim up on the Mizbeach, he could, and that's what they would do in Yom Kippur, Mishum Kvodav Ugdulaso, that they would bring it to him and he would do it. From the Lashon of the Rambam, it seems Trumas Hadashin and Dish Mizbeach HaPnimi was the only one that had an actual pious, but the actual burning of the bringing up of the limbs and everything, he did that on the top of the Mizbeach. Okay, one more thing. Menachas Chinuch just points out, we said Kulan Ein Nogos Meshuach Melchama except for the Chamisha Dvarim that are Ne'amar and Beparsha, that Meshuach Melchama, none of these halachas apply except for the five that we identify. So it's clear that Meshuach Melchama is like a Kohen Hedyot with regard to Big Day Kuhuna in this Brisa. So Menachas Chinuch just points out that according to that Tana, that Meshuach Melchama has a din like a Kohen Hedyot with regard to Big Day Kuhuna, it can't be that they had a Meshuach Melchama during the Bayis Sheni. Why? Because in order to be a Meshuach Melchama, something had to make him a Kohen Gadol. What are the ways that a person becomes a Kohen Gadol? There are three ways that a person can become a Kohen Gadol. That a person could be anointed as a Kohen Gadol. You could have the Shemana Mishcha, which they didn't have during Bayis Sheni. You could have the Riboy Begadim, which the Meshuach Melchama, according to this Tana, was not allowed to wear, so he couldn't get the Riboy Begadim, couldn't have the Shemana Begadim. Or you could have Avodaso Mechanachto, that he does the Avoda of a Kohen Gadol, and that will get. But his whole avoda is to make a speech before war. It's unlikely that avoda is going to be mechanichim as a Kohen Gadol. So it must be that there was no such thing as a Meshuach Melchama throughout the whole period of the second Beis Hamikdash. It says in Josephus that Matzio Kohen Gadol and Yehuda Maccabee were nimshichu as Meshuche Melchama. So he says that's just a name that they gave them as a kavod. It was like when we give someone heter ara, we call it smicha. That's just a title but it's not real smicha. So they used to call him Meshuach Melchama as a nice title, but it wasn't actually real. They were not actually a real Meshuach Melchama. They could not have been a real Meshuach Melchama. Okay, period. Next part. Now we move on to the Urim V'Tumim. Ki Asa Ravin Amar Nishal Itmar. That when we talk about the Mashiach Melchama, we're talking about the wearing the Shemona Begadim, we were referring to when he's Nishal in the Urim V'Tumim. Tanya Namiyachi Begadim Shkoyen Gadol Mishamish Ben Mashiach Melchama Nishal Behen. That's exactly what we say. When we say the Mashiach Melchama is going to wear the Shemona Begadim, we're not talking about wearing Shemona Begadim to do Avodah V'Koyen Gadol. It means that he would wear the Shemona Begadim when he's doing the Urim V'Tumim procedure. When they're doing the Urim V'Tumim, they're asking of the Urim V'Tumim, that's when he would be wearing these Shemona Begadim. Tanur Rabbanan Ketzah Cholin. So how does it work? How do they ask the Urim V'Tumim? So Ashol Panav Klape Nishal, V'Anishal Panav Klape Shechina. The person who's asking of the Urim V'Tumim faces the Kohen Gadol who's wearing the Shemona Begadim, and the Kohen Gadol who's wearing the Shemona Begadim faces the Shechina. Great, where's that? Where's the Shechina? So Rashi is Machlokes Rashi in the Rambam, what that means over here. Rashi says that the Shoel faces the Kohen Hanishal, and the Kohen Hanishal, Klape Shechina, means that he's Klape the Urim V'Tumim, the Shema Meforosh that's inside the Choshen, that he's facing the Urim V'Tumim. The Rambam says differently. The Rambam in the 10th parak of Hilchos Klei HaMikdash says no. The Kohen is Omed Kishapanav Klape HaAron. What does it mean? He faces the Shechina? He faces the Aron. The Shoel is behind him, facing the back of the Kohen who he's asking from, who himself is facing the Aron. So it's not that they're face to face. The Shoel is behind him, and the person who's wearing the Shemona Begadim faces toward the Aron. So the Kesef Mishnah explains, why doesn't the Rambam want to say like Rashi? He says, because then to say that the Nishal is Klape Shechina, if you assume Shechina means Urim V'Tumim, it's unnecessary to say. He's wearing the Urim V'Tumim, so of course he's pun of Klapi the Urim V'Tumim. It's on him, so that it's unnecessary or slightly inaccurate. Meaning, who would you describe as really being pun of Klapi the Urim V'Tumim? You'd be the one who's facing the guy wearing the Shemona Begadim is really the one facing the Urim V'Tumim. So it's a bit odd to describe the Nishal as being pun of Klapi Shechina if you're talking about the Urim V'Tumim. So that's why the Rambam says it's got to be the Aron. So of course the Achronim try to figure out what would the Rambam say in the Bayesheni when there was no Aron. So is it good enough to have Klape the Makom of the Aron, or does it have to be the Aron itself? And what does it mean, Klape the Aron? Obviously, it's not in the Kodesh HaKadashim, so not Klape. So, and which Aron? Is it the Aron that's in the Kodesh HaKadashim, or the Aron that would be Yotze with them to Melchama? Is that also good enough? Because after all, what they were asking of the Urim V'Tumim usually was, should we go fight a war? So maybe the Aron that was Yotze the Melchama with them is the right Aron to be facing at that time. So all of that is discussed by Achronim. Hashoel Omer. So for example, the way it would work is the Shoel would say, "Erdof achrei agadud hazeh? Should we go after this bounty? Should we go and fight this war?" Vanishal Omer, "Komar Hashem alev atzlech." So says Hashem, you should go and you'll be matzliach. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, "Ein tzarach lama komar Hashem ela alev atzlech." He doesn't have to say komar Hashem. It's obvious that komar Hashem. That's the point. He just says what to do. Ein shol in bekol. They don't ask out loud. Shenemar v'shal lo. Because if it says v'shal lo, you ask him, meaning that no one else should be able to hear it. V'loma har belibo, but you also don't say it just in your mind. Shenemar v'shal lo lifnei Hashem. It says v'shal lo lifnei Hashem. So ela kederach shenemar chana b'tfilasa. Kederach sha'amra chana b'tfilasa. Rather, it should be done the same way chana davened. Meaning we know that shenemar, as the pasuk says, v'chana hi medaberes aliba. That chana was medaberes aliba, which means that she spoke barely audibly, enough for her to hear it, and she moved her lips, but it wasn't enough for anybody else to hear it, and that's the way we daven. We learn many of the halachas of tefillah from Chana, and that's we also learn how to ask the Urim V'Tumim from Chana. Ein shol in shnei dvarim ke'echad. We also don't ask two questions at the same time. V'im shol ein machzirin ela echad. And if a person does ask two questions at the same time, only one of them gets responded to. V'im machzirin lo ela rishon, and it's the first one that gets responded to. Shenemar, as the pasuk says, when David HaMelech was on the run from Shaul, and whenever he would hide in the city amongst the inhabitants of the city, he always had to be concerned where were the loyalties of the people of that city. Were they going to side with him? Were they going to side with the Shaul? Were they going to hand him over to Shaul? So David HaMelech asked the Urim V'Tumim. He asked Kiruni Bali Ki'ila Biado Hayerit Shaul. He asked two questions. Are the people of Ki'ila, where I'm hiding now, are they going to cover for me? And number two, is Shaul coming here to attack? Vayom Hashem Yerid. And Hashem says Shaul is coming. So you see Hashem only answered one of the questions. So it says, yeah, but you just said that Hashem always answers the first question. V'amrit Ein Machzirin El Rishon. Rishon? How come Hashem answered the second question over here? So the Gemara explains that he did answer the first question. David just asked them out of order, meaning David accidentally asked the first question second and the second question first. So Hashem answered what should have been the first question. David sha'al shalo kaseder, v'chzir lo kaseder. David asked the question in the wrong order. Hashem answered the question in order, because your first question is there danger here at all? Is Shaul HaMelech coming? Once you know that Shaul is coming, then you need to know, are the people of Keilah going to cover for me? Since he realized what he had done wrong, he realized that the reason the second question was answered and not the first was because he had asked out of order, so that's why he then asked in order, meaning he then asked the first question again. And then Hashem answered, once he asked the next time whether the people are going to cover for him or not, so Hashem answered for him. Machzirin lo shnayim, and if you need the answer to both questions, then you get both answers. Shnemar v'yishal David b'Hashem lemar herdof achrei agduda zeh ha'asiyenu v'yomer lo redov ki aseik taseik v'atzil tatzil. He said, should I chase after this and will I be successful? And Hashem answered him both, because he needed the answer to both questions. V'afal pishek zeres navi chozeres gezeres urum v'tumim eino chozeres. And even though gezeres navi could change and could be Hashem could change, could take back a promise that's delivered through a navi, Rashi says, Kigon Shel Yona Ben Amitai, just like by Yona, Yona said, Ninveh Ne'efachas, that Ninveh is going to be turned upside down and it's going to be destroyed, but because they did tshuva, they had the ability to escape that fate. So that's true of a Navi. What a Navi says, when something bad is going to happen, a Nevuah L'ra could be changed. Whatever is said by the Urim V'tumim is Eino Chozeres. That can never be changed. Shenemar, B'mishpat Urim. Lama Nikrashman Urim V'tumim. Where do we get the name Urim V'tumim from? Why is it called Urim V'tumim? So Urim Shemeirin Estevayim, Tumim Shemashlimin Estevayim. Urim means that it's Meirin Estevayim, which means it explains clearly what it's saying, and Mashlimin Estevayim is that it's Eino Chozeres, that whatever it says is going to stick. Vim Tomar Begivas Bin Yamin Bnei Ma Lo Hishlimu Haim Shalo. So wait a second. You mean Hishlimu Sevrayim, that it always comes true and that it never leads you the wrong way? But by Givas Binyamin, that wasn't true. There was a horrible story at the end of Sefer Shoftim. Several horrible stories at the end of Sefer Shoftim, but one of them is the story of Pilegesh Begiva. The whole idea of the Navi sets up some of these stories at the end of Sefer Shoftim happened decades and centuries apart from each other, but they're all piled in at the end of Sefer Shoftim as a way to set up Sefer Shmuel Aleph. So it's the Navi's way of telling us that things under Shoftim were not really so good, and Klal Yisrael really needed some stronger leadership than a Shofet could ever provide, and that was sort of paving the way to describing what a Melech B'Yisrael is going to be and how Malchus is meant to solve that problem. That leads us into Shmuel, where Shaul HaMelech gets appointed and Malchus is introduced to Klal Yisrael. But one of the horrible stories is the story of Pilegesh Begiva, where there was a man with his Pilegesh and he stopped in a town. It's a very similar story, and Rishonim already work hard to figure out all the similarities and the differences between the story of Pilegesh Begiva and the story of Lot and Sodom and the visitors that come. So anyway, so this guy comes with this Pilegesh and all the townspeople come and they say, we want this man, give us this man that came to your house, and they instead throw out the Pilegesh and say, here, take her. The next morning they find the Pilegesh dead on the doorstep. So they had violated her all night and they found her dead on the doorstep. So they were so perturbed by what had happened that that the man cut up the Pilegesh into 12 pieces and sent a single piece of her to each of the Shvatim and said, look what happened in Shevet Binyamin, something has to be done about this. So it started a civil war. They decided they're going to fight in Milchama with Shevet Binyamin unless Shevet Binyamin would give over the people who were responsible for it. So they kept on asking every night before they would go to war. They asked the Urim V'Tumim, should we go fight this war? And the Urim V'Tumim said, yeah. So the first night, and the next day they went to war and they got destroyed. People, lots of people died. Next night, should we fight this war? Yeah, sure. And again, lots of people died. Finally, the third night, yeah, fight this war, people won't die this time, and they were actually successful. So, but how could you say, Hishlimu, that everything the Urim V'Tumim said was correct? The first two nights, they were wrong. The Urim V'Tumim was wrong. People died. So many people died. It was terrible losses. So says Gemara, Heim Shlo Bichnu Im L'Natzeich Im L'Hinatzach. They only asked if they should fight. They didn't ask if they're going to be successful. So everything was correct. The Urim V'Tumim said, yeah, you should fight, because people need to die. U'Bachrona Shebichnu Hiskimu. It's only in the last time that they asked, where they wanted to know if they're going to be successful. So then it was correct. Shenemar, Pinchas Ben Elazar, Ben Aaron, Omid L'Fanav, B'Yam Mehim, Limar, Ho'osif, Od L'Tzei Sal Melchama, Im B'nei Ben Yam Menachdi, Achai, Im Echdal, V'Yam Hashem Alu, Ki Macharet, Nenu B'Yadecha. It was only on the third time that Hashem said, yeah, go, tomorrow at Nenu B'Yadecha. Tomorrow I'll give them over in your hands. But until then, it was not to be given over in their hands. So Ketzad Nasis, how would the Urim V'Tumim's message come through? Meaning, how is the message delivered? Rabbi Yochanan Amar Boltos, that the letters would jump out of the choshen, and that way you'd read the letters. Reish Lakish Amar Mitstarfos, that it wouldn't just be that they'd protrude out, but they'd actually join together and be mitstarif and would form words, and then you could just read the words. So what all the letters in the Aleph Beis were in the Urim V'Tumim, and whichever letters would give the message that Hashem wanted to give would either jut out or would actually move and form the words. So says Mar V'Halok Sivu Tzadi, but in the Urim V'Tumim, if you go through all the names of the Shvatim, there's no Tzadi in all the names of the Shvatim. So how could he have in the Choshen all the letters? You apparently don't have all the letters. The Gra points out it's not the only letter you don't have. You also don't have a Ches, and you also don't have a Kuf in the names of the Shvatim. So you're missing three critical letters. So Amar Rav Shmuel Bar Yitzchak, Avram Yitzchak V'Yakov K'siv Sham. It didn't only have the names of the Shvatim, it also had the names of the Avos. So Tzadi, Ches, and Kuf is all covered by Yitzchak. So since you have the names of Avram Yitzchak Yaakov, we're covered. I, V'lo K'siv Tes, there's another missing letter. Tes is not in the names of any of the Shvatim, nor in the names of any of the Avos. So Amar Rav Acha Bar Yaakov, Shifte Yeshurun K'siv Sham. It didn't only say Avram Yitzchak Yaakov, it also said Shifte Yeshurun, so the Tes and Shifte covered us for that. Meisvei kol kohen sheinu medaber ruach hakodesh ushchina shor alav ein sholin bo shorei shol tzadok va'olsolo ev yasser v'olsolo. David HaMelech had consulted with the Urim V'Tumim on a couple of occasions. He tried when Sado, he tried to ask Avyasar, when Avyasar was Kohen Gadol, to help him with the Urim V'Tumim, and it didn't work out. So instead, he appointed Sadok as the Kohen Gadol. But you see from there that it's not good enough to be the Kohen Gadol. You need to be medaber beruach hakodesh. You need to have ruach hakodesh in order for the Urim V'Tumim to work. Shnemar vayal Avyasar atom kol ha'am v'gomer. So, but the bottom line is, if you need ruach hakodesh, so obviously it doesn't work with letters just protruding, because then you don't need Ruach Kodesh, all you need to do is know how to read. Just read the letters that protrude. So what does it mean that you need Ruach HaKodesh? When one had Ruach HaKodesh, that helped in the interpretation of the Urim V'Tumim, which Pashup Shat means that Siyav Mesayah Be'adayu is that the letters wouldn't actually be bolate unless the Kohen Gadol, who we were working it through, happened to have Ruach HaKodesh. Meaning, yeah, anybody could read it, but it didn't happen, it didn't light up, it didn't. The letters didn't protrude unless you had a Kohen Gadol who had Ruach HaKodesh. That's the only way it worked. The Ramban, however, writes differently. That's how, that seems to be how the Rov Rishonim understand, but the Ramban writes differently. The Ramban writes that the idea is that the letters will light up, but you don't know how to arrange the letters. You don't know what order to put the letters in, and you need the Ruach HaKodesh to be able to get it right in order to put the letters in the right order. So he gives examples. If it says Yehuda Ya'aleh on the Urim V'Tumim, that could be Yehuda Ya'aleh, or it could be Hey Al Yehuda, or many other different combinations of how exactly to interpret it. So based on that, there's a famous comment of the Gra in Sefer Shmuel Aleph explaining the story with Chana, how Eli made a mistake and accused her of being a shikora. Eli must have realized that she was Eisha Salkana, she was a Chashva lady, she was one of the Shiva Nevios. He didn't know who she was. I mean, she was not Stam. This was Chana. How did he make such a mistake and just say he didn't just Stam accuse her of being some drunk on the street or something? He said he must have been surprised, but he accused her of being a shikora. So that's what the Gra explains, that Eli didn't know what was going on because Chana was davening in a very what was then considered a very unusual way. So he asked the Urim V'Tumim what was going on, and the letters came out. Hey Chav Shin Reish. So Eli interpreted that as Shikora, because Eli assumed he had the Ruach Kodesh to figure it out. So Ve'achshave Eli l'Shikora. So she says Lo Adoni, and what does it mean? So Chazal interpreted what she meant is Lo Adonata B'davar Hazeh. You don't have the Ruach Hakodesh, meaning you got the right letters, but you don't have the Ruach Hakodesh to put the letters in the proper order. You are not a master of the Urim V'Tumim today, because you were Mitzarif the Osios wrong. It should be Kishera is what it really meant to say. That I'm Anisha Kshas Ruach, I'm Akara, and that's why I'm davening like this. So that, or I'm not Kshera, or Kisara, that I'm like Sara Yemenu, without Banim that I'm davening. So that's what the letters really mean, but not Shikora. So that's what the famous comment of the Gra, based on that Ramban, and what it means, that what role the Ruach Kodesh played, that the Ruach Kodesh just played the role of putting the letters in the proper order. Okay, Vein Shoal in El Lamelech. We're also only Shoal, meaning the only person who can ask for Urim V'Tumim are a Melech and Meshuach Melchama and the Sanhedrin. So Minani Mili, how do I know this? Amr Rabbi Avod, Amr Krav V'Lefnei Elazar HaKohen Yamod V'Shal Lo B'Mishpat HaUrim. Who Zemelech? The pasuk is about Yoshua, and Yoshua had a din of a Melech. So when it says who, it's a reference to Melech. In fact, we learn the halachos of Morid B'Malchus from Yoshua, from the rules that of how Klal Yisrael has to treat Yoshua. Moshe Rabbeinu gave a very important speech about, not just Moshe Rabbeinu, when Yoshua took over, there was concern that he wouldn't command the same respect. So they reassured him about what's going to be if someone disobeys Yoshua, that he has a full din of a Melech. And we learn all the halachos of Morid B'Malchus from Yoshua. Yoshua had a din of a Melech. The Kol B'nei Yisrael Ito, Zeh Meshuach Melchama. Kol B'nei Yisrael Ito, that's a reference to Meshuach Melchama, because he has all B'nei Yisrael follow him out to war. The Kala Eda, Zu Sanhedrin. And Kala Eda is a reference to the Sanhedrin. You look at the Mishnah, the beginning of Sanhedrin, it derives the numbers of people on the Sanhedrin from the term Eda. So Eda refers to the Sanhedrin. So Hadron Lech Bolo Kohen Gadol. We now move on to the eighth parak of Meseches Yuma. This parak finally gets into the Alachas of Yom HaKippurim that are Nogea Bizman Hazeh, the Chamesh Inuyim, the what we're not allowed to do on Yom HaKippurim. So once we're finished with the Avodah Sayom, now we move into the Halachos of the day. So Yom HaKippurim, Masa Ba'achil, B'shtir, B'chitzo, B'sicho, B'nil, Sassandol, B'tash, B'shamita. There are five things we're not allowed to do in Yom Kippur: eating and drinking, bathing, anointing one's skin, wearing leather shoes, and tash v'shamita, marital relations. All of these things are usher to do on Yom HaKippurim. There is a machlokas rishonim. Clearly, eating and drinking is a chiv kares. On Yom Kippur, it's a nisadar reis and a chiv kares. There is a machlokas rishonim we're going to see later in a couple of days, whether the other Arba Inuyim are also Asr Minatorah. Tosos and Davai and Zayin hold the other Arba Inuyim are only Asr Midrabanan. The Rambam Shita is that all Chamesh Inuyim are Asr Minhatorah. They're all Asr Mida Oraisa. And there happen to be some exceptions for some of the other Inuyim. Va'melech va'kala yirchatu espneim. Even though bathing is not allowed, a melech and a kala are allowed to wash their face. They have to maintain a sense of dignity, so they're permitted to wash their face. As Rashi points out, Melech darko v'shivcha lios noe, shnemer melech b'yafi yotach zene enecha, v'akala tzricha noe, ad shetachay v'albala v'kol shoshim yom l'chupas, v'yikruya kala. The first 30 days after she gets married, she needs to be beautiful for her husband. A melech always has to be beautiful, he always has to look dignified, so that's why they're allowed to wash up, so that they could look dignified. Now the Behuda is an interesting kash in Tinyana, Yaradeus, and Reshi Gimel. Now the Behuda said, according to Ramban, who holds that in Yom HaKippurim, there were payasos. Remember, we had that machlok, as we mentioned earlier today, whether there were payasos in Yom HaKippurim. How could it be that we would allow other Kohanim to do payasos when they would do the payasos and they would win? They would then have to do harchatzos panav kiddush adayim v'raglayim, rather, in order to be able to participate in any avodah. Now, any avodah is definitely kosher with a kohen gadol, but if there's an iser to wash on Yom Kippur, how could we allow the payasos to go on? We're going to have Kohanim that are going to be washing unnecessarily. We could just have the Kohen Gadol do those avodos. So the Ramban says, well, if you say, like the Rishonim that hold that Rechitza is Asa Midrabanan, that the other Dalavi Nuim are only Asa Midrabanan, so certainly avoda, which is Da'araisa, would be Docha the Yisra Midrabanan. That would be no problem. And if you hold the Yisra Rechitza as Nisra Da'araisa, so maybe we could say that since there's a mitzvah to make a pious because of Bravam Hadras Melech, so therefore it's considered that the pious is needed, and once they win the pious, so then you can't have, it's Asa to have any other Kohen do the avodah. I mean, you just look at it in stages. That's how one of the Achronim suggests, Chamdas Yisrael. You look at it in stages. When you do the pious, you have to do the pious. Rav Amharish Melech is a great idea to do the pious. Once he did the pious and somebody won, now the avodah is not kosher with anybody else. So now he has to do the avodah. Okay. V'achaya tinol sasandal de Rav Lazar v'cham Moshe. Machlokas Rav Lazar v'chamim, whether a woman who just gave birth can wear leather shoes on Yom Kippurim. Ha'ochel kikosevus hagasa, the shear of achila for being chayav in Yom Kippur is a kosevus hagasa, the size of a date, kamov kagari nasa, including the pit. Vashosim lalugma of chayav, the shear of drinking is a cheekful. Kala ochel mitzarfim lukosevus, kala mashka mitzarfim lalugma. All different types of foods would equal up that shear. If you eat a little bit of one type of food, a little bit of another type of food, but together it equals the shear of a kosevus hagasa, you're going to be chayiv. And the same with drinks. Different types of drinks are mitzarif to a shear. Ha'ochel v'shosei in mitzarfin. But eating and drinking, a food and drink together, are not mitzarif to a proper shear because they're different shiurim from each other. They're not going to be mitzarif. In fact, the Sefer Tosi Yom HaKippurim asked the question, what's the chiddush that kol ha'ochel mitzarfin l'kosevus? Of course. Why would you think that different types of food are not mitzarif? Anytime you have shiurim shava, that's the rule. You always have tziruf when shiurim shava. So pashas is there's no chiddush. It's just setting up the line that ochel v'shosa ain mitzarfin. But he suggests that maybe since the shir of achila is on Yom Kippur is about yisuve daita. It's about satisfying a person. So maybe there's an assumption that there's less satisfaction when you're having very minuscule amounts of different types of food. Maybe you would need kosev sagasa in order to really be miyasva daite. Maybe that's the hava amina. Okay, so Be'ez Hashem, tomorrow we will pick up with the Gemara. A little behind, doesn't look so long tomorrow's daf. So Be'ez Hashem, tomorrow we'll pick up with the Gemara over there. Oh, yeah.